You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard will be back with me on Monday. It's Food Friday, and today we look at the flavor and history of a traditional food that has a long history in Milwaukee, pierogi. Pierogi are little half-moon-shaped dumplings stuffed with things like sauerkraut or beef or potato. They come from Poland. They've got a lot of relatives, though, in Ukraine, Russia, and beyond. Pierogies from Poland, for a long time they've had a history in the Milwaukee area, too. They're eaten at celebratory times over the holidays, the New Year. You could find them these days at Polish Fest in Milwaukee and at the Polona's Restaurant, famous for its homemade pierogi. Peter Brzezinski joins us now. He's a chef and the latest generation in his family to specialize in pierogi. His parents own the Polona's Restaurant in Milwaukee. Peter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem, Rob. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm Polish on my mom's side. I've experienced a lot of pierogi in my life, but for someone who's never had it, how would you describe the pierogi experience?
Well, anywhere from the savory to sweet dumpling. I mean, I haven't met anyone in my life, regardless of cultural background, that isn't fond of dumplings. So just a really flavorful, you know, pocket filled in some dough.
And the fillings, there's a lot of variety. You said savory and sweet. What are some of the big traditional pierogi fillings?
Well, the traditional pierogi fillings, like we do at our restaurant, there's a meat filling, which is, you know, typically pork and beef. There's a sauerkraut and mushroom variety, and one of the most popular flavors is a potato and cheese. It has variants sometimes with, you know, onions inside of it or bacon, but we like to keep it vegetarian. And there's also a sweet cheese variety, which takes like a dry crumbly cheese called baker's cheese, similar to farmer's cheese or ricotta, add some vanilla, sugar, things like that, and so those are like really the traditional staple flavors of at least the Polish variants of pierogi.
And do you and the restaurant really go nuts making these things over the holiday season there in Milwaukee?
Oh yeah. I mean, people come, you know, up as late as Christmas Eve, getting, you know, dozens upon dozens, either frozen or fresh to go and enjoy for their Christmas Eve or other holiday celebrations.
And how you mentioned sweet, and there's the sweet cheese. Are there other more dessert-type fillings? That's something I know it's out there. I haven't experienced it as much myself.
Well, definitely. You know, you could fill it with blueberries or strawberries or cherries, really anything you want. The thing you have to watch out for, which is the reason I don't do straight fruit on a commercial platform, is because when you do boil them, especially with blueberries, they get very, very hot, even hazardous inside.
Oh, no.
So a good way to have that fruit flavor, what I recommend doing is mixing the fruit in with that sweet cheese, so that way it doesn't get overly juicy or overly hot, so you can have, you know, your fruit varieties too. And that's how we do it at the restaurant.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the history, the cultural heritage of pierogi?
Well, you know, pierogi, like a lot of, you know, popular cuisine, begins as like a staple of, you know, essentially peasant food. You know, you could preserve something for a while by putting it in dough. You know, and it tastes just as good as the day you cooked it. So, I mean, whether you're making them with fresh filling or leftover fillings, that's part of how the history of pierogi came to become a staple of Polish cuisine. And now, of course, it's transcended that label of peasant food. It's, you know, one of the main dishes in any Polish household and any Polish restaurant here and abroad.
And how hard is it to make pierogi? I know it's a big production. When my family has done it, is it difficult, labor intensive?
It's labor-intensive. Mostly it's, you know, time-consuming because, you know, making the dough and then the fillings and then really, like, crimping the edges of the dumpling. I mean, like you mentioned before, we make these pierogi in-house, but they're also mostly handmade. So, you know, after a couple of hundred, your fingers just start to get a little tired.
So you've shared a recipe with us for a pierogi and a cheese filling, I think it was. We've got that over on the Central Time Facebook page. What is the key to getting that dough prepared just right?
Well, see, the dough, for me, has always been the trickiest part. Because you start out with, you know, your basic measurement of flour, egg, and water. But the trick is getting the right consistency of the dough, right texture and stickiness. Like, you know, you start out, you know, let's say 10 ounces of dough and one egg, or excuse me, 10 ounces of flour. And you're going to slowly add in water, you know, in a mixer to get that dough going. But if you find you've added too much, you know, it gets too sticky, then you have to add flour. If it's too dry, then you have to add water. So it's really about the feel of it, the texture of it. So sticky enough that you can crimp it well, but not too sticky as it will, I guess, stick to the bottom of your pot and ruin your batch.
Is that something you just, you mentioned it's a feel. Do you just get that feel from repeated efforts and maybe from some trial and error?
Definitely a lot of trial and error. And, you know, I always asked my father for, you know, a straight recipe. Just give me the proportions. He was like, no, you really can't. It's a handful of this, a handful of that. And really, like a lot of chefs, you just have to touch something to know that it's right.
And boiling, frying, what happens to the pierogi once we've got the dough made and we've got it stuffed with the stuffing?
Well, the boiling process is actually just to cook the dough. Because, you know, with your meat fillings or other savory fillings like potato and sauerkraut, those are already going to be cooked when you put them into the dumpling. So you boil them first to cook the dough all the way. And, you know, if you're not doing them in a large batch, you're doing it fresh to go. You know, you dump them in some lightly salted boiling water. Be sure to stir. And then they'll start to float. After they float, depending on how, I guess, dense your filling is, you let them sit from anywhere from a minute to two minutes while they're floating on top of the water. Say a potato or a cheese filling, you can probably take out after a minute, but like a meat, you're going to want to keep in there longer because the dough will have to cook a little bit longer.
This is a pierogi, by the way, is probably my biggest ever cooking disaster. I tried to make pierogi without somebody helping me, without a recipe, guessing. So I ended up with a vat of boiling water with filling and lumps of dough just all floating. There's nothing you could eat in the final product. Is it a good idea to maybe get a buddy, somebody who knows what they're doing, to talk you through it the first time, with or without a recipe?
Definitely. I'd say get someone who has a little bit of experience. And not just for that experience and advice, but to help you crimp all those things so you don't end up like having pierogi soup like you did.
Get some pierogi helpers. Now, we're talking Polish mainly. I mentioned Ukrainian and Russian. Is there a difference apart from a language and a name? Do they actually come out differently when you serve them?
Well, you know, in Russian, they're called pelmeni, and Ukrainian, vareniki. Those traditions tend to focus more on the savory fillings. They do add in, like, a spinach and potato variant or, like, a beet and goat cheese variant. When I was living in New York, I worked at a Ukrainian restaurant, so I worked with some of those more traditional Ukrainian and Russian flavors. Other than that, those like linguistic differences and those small differences, they're pretty much the same, with one exception. In the Russian tradition, there's something called a pierozhok, which is not to be confused with a pierog. A pierozhok means pie, so it's like imagine like a baked phyllo dough pierogi, which is just as delicious, but it's a different thing.
Now, serving pierogi straight up, or is there a condiment of choice?
You know, it goes down to personal preference. For savory pierogi, I definitely recommend serving with caramelized onions. And if there's going to be one condiment of choice for both savory and sweet pierogi, it's going to be sour cream. It goes really well with it, but it's totally optional.
At a Polish restaurant in Chicago once, they served them with gravy, I think. Is that common?
Really? can imagine it would be, say, with like the meat and the potato varieties, but you know, some of the sweeter ones or with the sauerkraut, I couldn't imagine that being too common.
We're talking about a celebrated Polish food with deep roots in Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee. Pierogi. Chef Peter Brzezinski stays with us, and we'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite version of pierogi? Have you ever eaten them, first of all? Have you ever made them on your own, maybe with your family? Is this a food tradition in your family? Where do you go if you want to eat them at a restaurant? What family history does it have for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We can find a recipe, by the way. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking about a celebrated Polish food with deep roots in Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee, pierogi. Peter Brzezinski stays with us. He's a chef. He's the latest generation in his family to specialize in making pierogi. His parents own the Polona's restaurant in Milwaukee, and you can join the conversation. Are you a pierogi fan? Is it part of your family tradition? Have you eaten them? Have you ever tried making them? How did it go? Better than maybe my experience, hopefully. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Peter's given us a recipe for the dough and for a cheese filling to fill it with. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Holly on the line in Madison. Holly, hi.
Hi, I'm calling because my grandmother was Polish, and some of my fondest memories are eating her wonderful pierogies. But she made a pierogi that was made with cottage cheese on the inside, and I think some onion, too. And I've never seen that anywhere else. I don't know if it's something that she invented on her own or if that's something you've heard of before, but it was wonderful.
Holly, thanks. Peter, cottage cheese pierogi.
That's a new one for me, but, you know, if it tastes good, why not? Do it.
This has got to be a thing where, you know, there might be as many permutations on pierogi as there are chefs and Polish grandmas.
Oh, definitely, definitely. There's a lot of Polish grandmas out there.
Holly, thanks so much. We'll go now to Bill in New Berlin. Bill, hi.
Hi. I wish you'd have had this show on a couple of years ago because my stepfather was Ukrainian, and he never heard of Ukrainians in Milwaukee. At any rate, my grandfather used to say, I come from a small corner of Ukraine. And I said, what's the name of that small corner? And he said, Poland.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
That's fighting words.
They used to make galumpki every night.
Oh, excellent.
And I never cared for it, mm-hmm. but there you have it.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. So galumpki, that's, we call it galumpki, that's a stuffed cabbage, right, Peter?
Yes. That's a stuffed cabbage roll to get cabbage leaf, typically in Ukrainian tradition, just pork. But in Polish, pork and beef and rice, served in a tomato sauce or a mushroom sauce. I also have a vegetarian variant with pearled barley and mushrooms inside. So you can, you know, if you've got a shell, you can fill it with whatever you like, pretty much.
Well, and that's part of the universal appeal of the dumpling pierogies and beyond, whether you're talking, you know, Asian dumplings or whatever. You can really mm-hmm. get creative with the filling.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, I mean, for example, you know, I've added some new flavors to my father's menu because he had the same four traditional pierogi for 30 years, and I wanted to spice it up a little bit. So, you know, I've added a Reuben pierogi, which is very popular, believe it or not. You know, corned beef, mm-hmm. Sauerkraut, Swiss cheese, served with a side of our homemade Thousand Island dressing. I even came up with a turkey and cranberry reduction pierogi, and I made that one when I was living and working in New York because I made a Thanksgiving feast, but I wanted to share it with all of my friends. Unfortunately, we all had different schedules, student schedules and things like that, so I wanted to keep it just as good and just as fresh as that first bite of that Thanksgiving feast, so I said, why not? I'll make it into a pierogi.
Nice.
And so that's translated its way onto my father's menu now.
Did you get pushback when you first said, hey, maybe we can make some different kinds of pierogies? Was there concern that you were departing too much from tradition?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, the strongest pushback, you know, of course, was, you know, from my father. But once we got everything done and he tried it and he tried the Reuben one, he said, it's not bad. I almost like it as much as my meat pierogi. So got that almost.
All right, we'll go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Carol on the line in Wisconsin Dells. Carol, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that 60 or more years ago, I remember my grandmother making pierogi with fresh plums, and they were drop-dead delicious. She also served them with sour cream. So that's a variety that I haven't heard mentioned yet on the program. And for people who are a little faint of heart at the thought of doing these, the dough is really basically a noodle dough. So if you find any good recipe online or in an older cookbook for making your own noodles, you can often use that as the dough for pierogi.
Huh, interesting. Carol, thanks for that. I want to hit both of those, Peter. So I think you touched on plum earlier. Michelle, our board operator here, is nodding. She loved the plum pierogi. Is that a big favorite? Do you serve that at the restaurant?
I don't have it at the restaurant, but I definitely have heard of it, and it is very tasty. I would add like just a little bit of sugar in the filling too. But what Carol said about the noodle dough is very true. You could definitely use any kind of noodle dough. Also just be sure to watch the flour, because if too much flour, it'll get hard, like a lasagna dough, rather than you want it like a softer noodle dough.
Carol, thanks a lot for that. One thing about pierogies is I know from experience they freeze and reheat fairly well. I understand, since I didn't get back to Michigan for Christmas, there are some frozen pierogies waiting to be brought out to me. So they can travel okay frozen, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. I've taken them to New York, I've taken them to Arizona, they've just been fine, just frozen like that, and they stay frozen for, you know, a couple of hours, so yeah, you'd be fine traveling with them.
Speaking of Michigan, John on Facebook writes, we buy them on occasion, my wife will make them, I prefer the sauerkraut ones, and he says there's a cool pierogi place in Detroit with all sorts of different fillings, you know, and that's not like Milwaukee, the Detroit area had a big Polish-American presence. Can you find pierogi anywhere you find Polish-Americans?
I'd say so, anywhere from, you know, Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. I know for a fact that on the East Coast there are some pierogi food carts even. But definitely, like, say, for example, in the Hamtramck neighborhood of Detroit, you'll definitely find some pierogi there.
Back to our callers now. We've got Dolores on the line in Kenosha. Hi, Dolores.
Oh, hello. Now, I've made pierogi, but I want to talk about the cottage cheese-filled things that my father made. And they really weren't pierogi. They were more like a blini. And okay. He would get his cast iron pan out and make the thin, like crepes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were filled simply with small curd cream cottage cheese. And sometimes if we had butter, we'd put butter on them or whatever fruit we had in season. And it was just kind of a spontaneous thing my dad did. My sister makes them now, and they're excellent. Sometimes she stirs in a little sour cream or puts sour cream on top.
Yum. Well, Dolores, thank you so much. And that does sound maybe closer to a crepe than a pierogi, Peter.
Yeah, it is closer to a crepe. In Polish, we call them naleśniki. And the thing about where they're similar is that you could use the same kinds of fillings. For example, we make a sweet cheese crepe similar to that cottage cheese crepe that Dolores is talking about, in addition to a strawberry and apple crepe. So somewhat more of a dessert fare, but, you know, just as good as an entree.
So your dad, famous for making pierogi, you as well. What's the meaning of pierogi for your family, Peter?
Oh, well, that's hard to say. I mean, in a lot of families and a lot of traditions, food is love. And, you know, we love to cook for those we love, and we put our heart into it. And Sure, it's a lot of work, but I don't know, we bond over it, you know. Even making pierogi, it's a good time to, you know, catch up with family and friends if you've got, you know, pierogi buddies to help you. Because, I mean, it is a long process, and you do have a lot of time to, you know, chat and connect and just work together in solidarity. So, yeah, it's a nice experience.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
That's Peter Brzezinski, chef, the latest generation in his family to specialize in pierogi. His parents own the Polona's restaurant in Milwaukee. I've got a recipe, by the way, for pierogi on the Central Time Facebook page. Coming up Monday on Central Time, it's inauguration day for Scott Walker's second term as governor. We'll take a look ahead at what a run for president might look like for him. We'll get some advice on seeking help for depression in the new year and on helping people we know find help as well. And media critic Bob McChesney joins us to make the case that the world needs to reinvent the way media works to build new, more vibrant democracy in the 21st century. That's all coming up Monday here on Central Time. Monday morning from 6 to 9, it's the Joy Cardine Show. After 6, Joy's guests make the case for learning a new language. Hey, maybe Polish. You could join in with your experiences and your thoughts, too. That's Monday morning at 6 on the Joy Cardine Show. Yesterday on the show, we talked about a big surge in tabletop board games with self-proclaimed game geek Ethan Gilsdorf. A lot of you weighed in on social media with some of your favorites. Over on Twitter, Andy says he's been playing lots of Smash Up. I have played that. It's like a battle between zombies and ninjas and aliens and dinosaurs. He says, I love actually being together with friends to play the games. He shared the hashtag friends, not phones. Also on Twitter, that's at Central Time WPR, Dan recommends Arkham Horror. Played that one too. I'm a big nerd, aren't I? It's a cooperative game set in the horror worlds of H.P. Lovecraft. And on the Central Time Facebook page, James recommends the card game Love Letter. He says, who knew a game with only 16 cards could be so much fun? I may have gotten that very game as a birthday gift for a certain Central Time co-host. We got votes for Settlers of Catan from Chris, Ezra, and Marsha, and Rachel says a game called Terra Mystica, not familiar with that one, is the new Settlers of Catan. Tim says, hey, board games never went away. Some people just were distracted for a while by shiny, flashy things. Keep sharing your favorite games, the Central Time Facebook page, or on Twitter, it's at Central Time WPR. I'm Rob Ferret. News is coming up next on Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.